He watched through the spy hole in the door as the body was taken past the cells. It caused a certain stir, especially in the first man he'd brought in. The other two had the look of men who'd seen a lot of bad stuff in the name of making money. If they were hired to steal or murder or be a copper, it was all the same to them, and they'd learn not to react too readily to deaths that were not their own. The first man, though, was getting nervous. Vimes had nicknamed him Ferret. He was the best dressed of the three, all in black. The dagger had been expensive, and Vimes noticed he had a silver death's head ring on one finger. The other two had dressed nondescript, and their weapons had been workmanlike, nothing much to look at but well used. No real assassin would wear jewellery at work. It was dangerous, and it shone. But Ferret wanted to be a big man. He probably checked himself in the mirror before he went out to make sure he looked cool. He was the sort of little twerp that got a kick out of showing his dagger to women in bars. Ferret, in short, had big dreams. Ferret had an imagination. Well, that was fine. The watchman returned and picked up the packages Vimes had prepared. "Remember, we do it fast," he said. "They're worried, they're tired, no one's come for them, and they've just seen a very dead colleague. We don't want to give the first two time to think, understand?" They nodded. "And we'll leave the little one until last. I want him to have lots of time." Ferret was considering his prospects. Regrettably, this didn't take long. He'd already had a row with the other two, some rescue team they'd been. They weren't even dressed right, but the brown jobs hadn't done thing as per spec. Everyone knew they backed away. They weren't supposed to fight back or show any kind of intelligence. The main cell door was flung back. "It's ginger beer time," roared someone. And a watchman ran through with a box of bottles, disappeared into the rooms beyond. There wasn't much light in here. Ferret cowered against the wall and saw two watchmen unlock the cell next door, drag the shackled occupants upright and out into the corridor, and then hustle him round the corner. The voices had a slight echo. "Hold him down, mind his legs." "Right, let's have the bottle. Give it a proper shake, otherwise it won't work." "Okay, friend, anything you want to tell us? Your name?" "No. Well, it's like this. Right now, we don't care a whole lot if you talk or not." There was a loud pop, a hiss, and then a scream, an explosion of agony. After it had died away, the trembling Ferret heard someone say, "Quick, get the next one before the captain catches us." He cringed back as two watchmen rushed into the next cell, dragged out the struggling prisoner and hustled him into the darkness. "All right, one chance. Are you going to talk? Yes? No? Too late." Once again the pop, once again the hiss, once again the scream. It was louder and longer this time, and ended in a kind of bubbling sound. Ferret crouched against the wall, fingers in his mouth. Around the corner, sitting in the light of one lantern, Colon nudged Vimes, wrinkled his nose and pointed down. There was a gully that ran between all the cells as a primitive sop to hygiene. Now a thin trickle was inching its way along it. Ferret was nervous. "Gotcha," thought Vimes. But a good imagination needs a little more time. He leaned forward, and the other two moved closer expectantly. "So," he said in a low whisper, "have you boys had your holidays yet?" After a few minutes of very small talk, he stood up, strode round to the last occupied cell, unlocked the door and grabbed Ferret, who was trying to squeeze into a corner. "No, please, I'll tell you whatever you want to know," the man yelled. "Really?" said Vimes. "What's the orbital velocity of the moon?" "What?" "Oh, you'd like something simpler," said Vimes, dragging the man out of the cell. "Fred, Waddy, he wants to talk. Bring a notebook." It took half an hour. Fred Colon wasn't a fast writer, and when the painful sound of his efforts concluded with the stab of his last full stop, Vimes said, "OK, sir. And now you write down at the end, 'I, Gerald Leastways, currently staying at the Young Men's Pagan Association, am making this statement of my own free will and not under duress,' and then you sign it or else. Got it?"
"Yes, sir."
The initials GL had been inscribed on the dagger. Vimes believed them. He'd met plenty of Leastwayses in his career, and they tended to spill their guts at the mere thought of spilling their guts. And when they did, you got everything. Anyone who'd seen the ginger beer trick used on someone else would confess to anything. "Well, now," he said cheerfully, standing up, "thank you for your cooperation. Want to lift to Cable Street?" Ferret's expression, if not his mouth, said, "Huh?" "We've got to drop off your friends," Vimes went on, raising his voice slightly. "Todsey and Muffer. We'll drop the dead one off at the mortuary. Just a bit of paperwork for you." He nodded at Colon. "One copy of your helpful statement. One..."